NASA sets a new date for Discovery. Turkish Airlines says it lost five of its own. And Mary Schiavo is back in the news. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this Aerocast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, February 27th, 2009. NASA still doesn't know what's been causing issues with three hydrogen gas valves used in the space shuttle's propulsion system, but it's announced measures to mitigate any ill effects of a valve failure and tentatively scheduled the launch of Discovery for mission STS-119 for March 12th. Technicians at Kennedy Space Center in Florida have started removing Discovery's three valves, two of which will undergo detailed inspection. About 4,000 images of each valve will be reviewed for evidence of cracks. For this mission, valves with fewer cycles will be fitted, and NASA says hardware changes may be made to reduce the potential for damage should a valve fail and release debris. Program staff will hold another meeting March 4th to reconsider options. The agency says that so far, the schedules for the next two shuttle launches are unaffected. Turkish news reports now say five airline employees were among the nine fatalities in Wednesday's crash of a Turkish Airlines 737 on approach to Schiphol Airport in Amsterdam. The Times of London reports three pilots, two other airline personnel, and four passengers died in that accident. Witnesses say the aircraft came down at an extreme nose-up attitude and with little apparent forward momentum, with the tail hitting first. The tail separated from the fuselage ahead of the vertical stabilizer. A second fuselage break forward of the wing box is visible in images from the scene. The absence of a post-impact fire is credited with allowing 125 to make it out alive, but has also prompted suspicions that the plane had run out of fuel. Dutch Safety Board spokesman Fred Sanders says investigators have the data and voice recorders, which have been sent to Paris for analysis. Turkish media Thursday criticized their country's government and the airline for initially reporting that there had been no fatalities. Controversial former DOT inspector Mary Schiavo joined members of a group calling itself the National Air Disaster Alliance Foundation on Tuesday in announcing a federal lawsuit has been filed against DOT and FAA officials, allowing that a series of deja vu disasters have resulted from FAA inaction on the NTSB's annual list of most wanted transportation safety improvements. The New Jersey Star-Ledger reports the group is an alliance of air safety advocates and plane crash victims led by Executive Director Gail Dunham. The lawsuit appears to have been prompted by the crash of Continental Connections Flight 3407, operated by Colgan Air, on approach to Buffalo in icing conditions the night of February 12th. Schiavo said talk of pilot error by investigators is scapegoating. Quote, "There is a rush to say it's pilot error when it is not. In doing that, you often miss things about the manufacturers and the operations in general," unquote. She criticized investigations in which an understaffed NTSB relies on industry experts who have their own agendas. FAA spokesman Les Dorr told the paper, quote, "It would be premature for anyone to jump to a conclusion as to the cause of the accident just 10 days later," unquote. He pointed out the NTSB is free to make safety recommendations without regard to their feasibility or practicality. The NTSB this week released a preliminary report on the January 25th takeoff crash of a Remos GX light sport aircraft at Sebring Regional Airport during the recent U.S. Sport Aviation Expo. The craft had been on display and was taking off in a two-plane formation for a photo shoot when it was observed making a diving right turn and impacting a ramp area adjacent to the runway. The pilot and a photographer were killed. The board says investigators found damage consistent with the nature of the impact, but also discovered the left aileron's quick-release rod connector, which allows disconnecting the linkage to let the wing fold for storage and transport, was not connected to the quick connector release fork. The board hasn't yet determined whether that connector failed or was improperly secured before takeoff. A probable cause report is expected later this year. Up next on ANN, Eclipse's Chapter 7 is expected to be approved. An Eclipse customer steps up to support other owners. And Cessna's 400 Corvallis TT wins a European type certificate. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for February 27. I'm Paul Platt. As ANN reported, a Wednesday memo from Eclipse Aviation execs to remaining employees informing them that the company's bankruptcy was moving from Chapter 11 reorganization to Chapter 7 liquidation noted that the move had the approval of the company's directors. A later press release confirmed the company would not fight the change. Albuquerque business bankruptcy attorney Bill Davis tells the Houston Chronicle that makes approval of the move to liquidation a near certainty. Quote, "When there's a motion to convert and the company is not contesting, it's 99% certain the case will be converted," unquote. Reaction to the news of Eclipse's demise has been mixed. Economic development officials in New Mexico and general aviation industry groups are understandably disappointed. But Teal Group analyst Richard Abulafia, a consistent critic of the Eclipse business plan, was blunt. Quote, "There are a lot of people who choose to believe in Santa Claus at a surprisingly advanced age. There's a great chance that people will learn from this, and there will never be such an awful program again. That's the only upside," unquote. As for talk that an investor might yet step in to rescue Eclipse and its pioneering very light jet, analysts are dismissive. Doug Royce is an analyst for Forecast International Incorporated, who last year predicted Eclipse's collapse and even the timing with considerable precision. He observes, quote, "There are too many better investment options than investing in business aircraft when there's a major downturn in the business climate," unquote. When it became clear on Wednesday what was happening in Albuquerque, Eclipse 500 air taxi operator Linear Air quickly announced the formation of Eclipse Services and Support LLC, a new co-op through which owners of more than 250 already delivered Eclipse 500 jets might acquire the intellectual property and other support needed to keep their planes in the air. Linear Air CEO Bill Herp explained, quote, "The cooperative structure offers the best method for owners to receive the upgrades and support they need going forward at the least cost to them. We're looking forward to building out the co-op as the Chapter 7 process progresses," unquote. Eclipse 500 owners can expect to be contacted shortly. The group hopes to submit a winning bid to the court for the relevant assets in the Chapter 7 process. Linear Air says it's the only FAA-certified commercial operator of the Eclipse 500 on the east coast of the U.S. and offers extensive experience maintaining the aircraft, training pilots, and generating revenue from charter operations for its current base of Eclipse 500 owners. In a move that opens up a brand new market for Cessna's most modern piston single, the company announced Wednesday it has earned full type certification from the European Aviation Safety Agency for the 400 Corvallis TT high-performance airplane. John Doman, Cessna's VP for Worldwide Propeller Aircraft Sales, says the TT fits the market well. Quote, "This aircraft is perfectly suited for Europe, both as a business aircraft with comfortable seating for four people and their luggage, and for personal use with a range of some 1,250 nautical miles, allowing fast, convenient trips to anywhere in Europe in a matter of hours," unquote. Cessna brags the 400 Corvallis TT is the world's fastest fixed-gear single-engine piston aircraft, with a top speed of 235 knots and a service ceiling of 25,000 feet. Virgin Galactic and Scaled Composites have chosen EAA AirVenture Oshkosh to unveil Virgin Mothership Eve. The event is scheduled for July 27th, provided everything's ready in time. VMS Eve will arrive as part of the opening day air show and will remain on static display daily until its departure flight is part of the Saturday, August 1st air show. Additional showcase flights during the week are also anticipated. EAA President and AirVenture Chairman Tom Poberesny said of designer Burt Rutan, quote, "His accomplishments show how far our passion for building and flying aircraft can go. Over the decades, this EAA member has created some of the world's most inventive designs, including the vehicles that will take private citizen astronauts into space. We're all eager to welcome Burt and his team back to Oshkosh," unquote. Will Whitehorn, president of Virgin Galactic, says the company plans to conduct test flights of VMS Eve carrying Spaceship Two during the second half of 2009. The aircraft is the world's largest all-carbon composite flying vehicle. The 140-foot wingspan is the longest single carbon composite aviation component ever manufactured. Still ahead, Virgin America faces a unique challenge. American Airlines is forced to furlough flight attendants, and we have a rare bit of good economic news. You're listening to Aero News.
Welcome to Cirrus Design, maker of the world's best-selling personal aircraft, the sleek SR-22. Cirrus planes feature the latest technologies and are equipped with an exclusive, life-saving parachute system. It is our mission to make personal aviation safe, affordable, and convenient. At Cirrus, we offer a test drive like no one else in the business.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, February 26th. I'm Paul Plagg. For all its apparent success, Virgin America faces a tough issue, unique among U.S. domestic airlines. High fuel prices were a major culprit in the airline's loss of $227 million in its first year of operation. But then lots of other airlines also lost money. The problem for Virgin America lies in its ownership structure, which threatens its ability to continue operating legally in the U.S. U.S. law requires airlines here to have U.S. citizens own at least 51% of the company and exercise at least 76% of voting shares. To be eligible for its U.S. certificate, Virgin America limited involvement by Sir Richard Branson's Virgin Group and found two U.S. firms to buy out the rest of the stock. USA Today reports their agreements allow Black Canyon Capital and Cyrus Capital Partners the option of demanding Virgin Group buy them out with interest. Given the current state of the economy, that's looking more and more likely. But since Virgin Group can't own more than 24% and stay legal, that's a regulatory problem. Virgin America recently hired a firm to search for new U.S. investors. While the airline says it's simply being prudent, industry consultant Mike Boyd sees writing on the wall. Quote, "If you're one of those hedge funds, you take your guaranteed profit now and run," unquote. Analysts believe long-term success for Virgin America will require service into more U.S. cities, but the airline has only 28 Airbus A320s in its fleet, with only four more on order to be delivered in 2011. It will also face entrenched competitors in many markets. Boyd says the airline's only hope is to cut operating costs. If execs can achieve that and stay within ownership and control laws, Boyd says, quote, "they've got a good chance of being okay," unquote. With 667,000 Americans filing initial claims for unemployment insurance just in the week ending February 21st, how confident would you be in voluntarily leaving your job to help out your employer? That's apparently an issue at American Airlines, which needs to trim its flight attendant workforce by 410 people to match recent cuts in capacity. The airline has tried offering job sharing options, encouraging leaves of absence, and even extending continued employee travel benefits to those who'd agree to leave voluntarily. Airline spokeswoman Sue Gordon tells the Dallas Morning News that American Airlines has actually seen less attrition than usual, not more. Quote, "People are choosing to stay employed longer than we would have historically seen in terms of retirements and resignations. I think the economy is playing a factor where people are making different choices than they may have under a different economic environment," unquote. The Association of Professional Flight Attendants notified its members of the company's solution Wednesday afternoon. Quote, "It is therefore notifying the 410 most junior of our members that they are subject to furlough effective April 1, 2009, unquote. The union also told members the period during which they're eligible for recall has been extended by 2 years. Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University announced on Thursday it has launched an innovative peer mentoring program to help young women seeking careers as engineers successfully transition from high school through the critical first year of college. The announcement was made during the 20th annual Women in Aviation Conference in Atlanta. The program is called FIRST for Female Initiatives Reaching Success Together. It's being funded by a grant from Boeing and will give first-year female students tutoring in math and physics, special activities, and mentoring to reduce the dropout rate. Nationally, women majoring in engineering programs make up about 20% of the undergraduate population at universities such as Embry-Riddle, but their dropout rate is much higher than for men. Joanne Dottori Nakamura, Embry-Riddle's Director of Diversity Initiatives and an Associate Professor of Humanities and Social Sciences, observes, quote, "Pairing female freshmen with successful upperclass women, assigning faculty mentors, and engaging them in peer group activities helps them see they are not alone if they want to pursue their dream," unquote. A 2002 report investigating why women left engineering programs found that two-thirds who left were earning A's and B's, but were leaving because they felt isolated from the industry and from other women at the university. And finally, it's time for anyone with good economic news stories to share them if you got them. Healy Expo 2009 defied a down economy by breaking attendance records this week in Anaheim, California. Helicopter Association International says 17,995 people attended the three-day event, edging out last year's previous record of 17,373. HAI says that just the first 2 days this year nearly tied last year's three-day total. There were 585 exhibitors, 65 helicopters on the showroom floor, and HAI says exhibitors reported high activity at their booths. ANN was there, and we found vendors who were happily surprised by the turnout. One exhibitor told us, quote, "People who need helicopters, regardless of the economy," unquote. Well, here's hoping they continue to do so. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, it's part two of Jim Campbell's interview with Cessna VP of Marketing, Tom Aniello. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCast. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend, and have a clear and unlimited day.